how often have we ripped on Ken Holland for the job that he's done?
A lot.
And the lack of depth and everything, but
a lot. And that's why I want to give him credit, because exactly. I have been harsh, but yes. That, a couple good moves here.
Yes, we have.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 211 of the Boys in the Booth podcast. Cody and Melbourne, no Abrams for this one, but he does send his regards and also his pick for the 2024 Stanley Cup final between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. That is what we are going to be talking about, obviously, in this episode. But before we get into that, Chad, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, doing well. I, as you know, wrote the first part of the bar exam, the barrister's, the other day, and that took virtually everything out of me. So I was in recovery mode for a day, and now I've got the solicitors coming up in a couple weeks, and then we're going on a nice trip together with the boys to CR. So that should be fun. Looking forward to that. That's what's been keeping me going here, and also trying to watch as much playoff hockey as I can, but it's been a little tough with the schedule. Obviously, we didn't do an episode last week, so and this episode's coming out a bit late. Getting our picks in for the Stanley Cup final, which is going to start on Saturday. So we thought it was okay if we kind of wait a little bit and get our picks out today. So that's what we're doing. But yeah, man, a lot has gone on, I feel like, since the last time we talked. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, in hockey and outside of hockey. And there are a few things I want to mention before we get into talking about our picks for the finals here. The first thing is, right now, if you go to boysintheboot.com/shop, we are still selling great Adidas golf shirts. You can go there and get them. I've got mine in here. You can see on the video. These are just beautiful, man. And you know what? They come in a bunch of different colors, white and black, but on the white ones, there are different colors for your embroidery. And also, the white one is UPF 50 plus protection included in the shirt. So that means you're not going to get burnt when you're playing golf in these things. And let me tell you, they are great quality. Last time we did the champion shirts, the champion golf shirts, and they were good. I have one of them, and it's held up, and it's been pretty nice. But it was a little bit heavy. But these Adidas ones, man, I got one of each. I got one of the black and one of the white. And they are just phenomenal quality. So I know they're a bit steep in price, but if we're going to make anything on this to keep this podcast going, that's what they have to be placed at. So please, if you can, if you feel like supporting the podcast, go to boysintheboot.com/shop and get your hands on one of these fantastic golf polos, because let me tell you, they're great. I've played in one already this year. The round itself didn't go so good, but you know, I certainly felt good wearing it. So there's that. The second thing I wanted to bring up is the Boys in the Booth Ball Hockey Classic draft has happened, and for the first time ever in tournament history, the three of us, me, you, and Casey, are on the same team, which is pretty cool. So going into the tournament here, you've got to think, like, this has to be the year that we win it, the three of us together on the same team. So
I hope so.
Yeah, so that was something that was pretty interesting to me. Essentially, I'm running back the same team that won it 2 years ago, myself, Andrew Pesky, Casey, Seb as our goalie, and then I replaced your brother Emerson with you. And by the way, Emerson won the scoring title that year, so I'm going to need you to live up to that name.
Oh, God.
And then who else? Instead of Cam Smith, we have Riley Armstrong. So it's a little bit different, but the core remains intact. We're keeping the Cody name on the team as well. So, you know, barring any crazy deals that come up in the next couple weeks before the trade deadline. But dude, I'm really excited this year. I feel like this is a tournament that every year I get really stoked for, obviously. But this year, you know, I haven't really been thinking about it too much until the draft last night. And now I am 100% back in. Like, I am ready to play in this tournament.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I couldn't be more excited that all three of the boys in the booth are on the same team. So we might have to do a rebrand for our jerseys or something.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I think it's actually the second time that we'll all be on the same team together. I do believe there was one other time, but we didn't win.
Really? What? How long ago was this?
A couple of years ago now. More than, I would say, like 3 years ago.
Well,
all three of us were on the same team.
Last year, we were not.
No.
The year before, we were not because Casey and I were together and we won. The year before that was the first year that we made the video and we were all on, or you were on Corey's team that year.
Yep. 'Cause
I remember you were wearing a red shirt in the video and Casey and I were wearing white. So maybe the year before that?
The year before that is what I'm thinking. But anyway, man, regardless, I'm stoked. And you know what, as I said to you in our group chat earlier today, you know, there's some pretty big names that are missing from this year's tournament. So I kind of look at the rosters and it kind of looks wide open to me.
Definitely. The talent, I don't want to say is thin because sometimes, you know, you get an all-star performance from one of the guys who gets paid the least amount of money. That just is how it works every year. But some of the big names, like you mentioned, are not coming. So it is going to be really exciting to see who steps up. And you're right. I think it's really wide open. It's anyone's tournament. There's not one team that's looked at as the favorite at all, even though, you know, Adam's team, the no-name team, is coming off two championships in the last 3 years, and they kept a lot of their core intact. But, you know, Nate this year is the first time he's playing with Cam McLean on his team. So that'll be interesting to see. And, you know, obviously, like I mentioned, Pesky's returning. So there are still some big names out there. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good tournament.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be on July 20th. So looking forward to that. And yeah, get your golf shirts. I know what I'm getting Dad for Father's Day, Chad. That's for sure. He's been asking about them. So head over to boysinthebooth.com/shop for that. All right, let's get to the Stanley Cup Final. It's Florida. It's Edmonton. The longest distance in kilometers between two teams in the Stanley Cup Final. By the way, you have the Florida Panthers, who are back there for the second year in a row after losing to the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Edmonton Oilers are back there for the first time since 2006. And we remember what a great final that was between the Oilers and the Hurricanes that year. Carolina winning that one. And another first for Edmonton. This is the first time, obviously, that they're in the finals in the Connor McDavid era, which is just so exciting. So why don't we, we'll do Case first and get his pick out of the way. I have a feeling I know who he's picking.
Yeah, so Case sent me a text, you know, because he couldn't be on this episode, who his pick is going to be. And these are his words, okay? He said, Florida in seven, but boy, I hope I'm wrong. And listen, I feel like that is the common pick. A lot of people are saying the same thing, especially people we know from Canada, obviously. Everyone wants the Oilers to bring home the cup and bring it back to Canada for the first time since 1993. But that being said, man, the Panthers are really, really good. So a lot of people I've seen out there are picking the Panthers and hoping that the Oilers are going to win. So that's Casey's pick. And just backing up a bit too, you mentioned that this is the first time the Oilers have been in the Cup Final since losing to Carolina in 2006. I remember watching that series as a kid, and you know, it's funny that you kind of take some of these series for granted, right? Like as the games go on and the years go on, because I remember watching that series and how special it was that Edmonton was in that final, and UC Markkanen was playing games for the team down the stretch. Dwayne Rolison famously got hurt and in that playoff run, and they were running UC Markkanen, who was not a starter in the NHL by any means.
No.
And so I was just thinking about that the other day. I remember being a kid and talking about how crazy that was because I was a big Dwayne Rolison fan. But UC Markkanen, to his credit, you know, was okay, I suppose, in the playoffs. But just imagine if Rolison was healthy, that series could have went totally different, and we would have had a Stanley Cup in Canada more recently than 1993.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was such a great final. I remember watching highlights of that final on the old Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em videos, and those were so great. So yeah, a lot of fond memories from that final. But Casey definitely summed it up. You know, Florida in seven, but hoping that he's wrong. And I definitely think it's like that for a lot of people. You know, you look at the Panthers and they've got everything, and they're healthy. That's the key as well. Both teams are healthy coming into this series, but Florida was there last year. Matthew Tkachuk said it. He said, you know, I told you guys that we'd be back. And it's going to be a challenge for Edmonton because they play this in-your-face physical style of hockey. They are just a perfectly built for this time of year. And it's going to be a challenge for Edmonton.
It's amazing what 1 year of hockey does for a team and the confidence and everything that surrounds the team. Because if we go back only about a year and a couple months, like, you know, this team was fighting for their playoff lives, and Alex Lyon was the guy who was really hot down the stretch. It wasn't even Bobrovsky. And then all of a sudden they squeak into the playoffs and they have a really good run. They go to the final, they end up losing, but you know, then all of a sudden they carry that momentum into the season, and okay, now they're one of the best teams in the league and everyone just has to accept that. And then they're back here in the final. So it's like, it's crazy what has happened in that year and a couple month stretch where they didn't really change the makeup of their team that much. They just kind of figured it out. They figured out how to play. And whether you want to put that on Paul Maurice, you know, a lot of people love Paul Maurice, and of course he's a very experienced coach, or whether you want to put that on health or Bobrovsky figuring it out or whatever you want to give the credit to. I feel like it's a lot of things that are going on, but Florida seemingly out of nowhere is one of the best teams in the league now, and we just have to accept it. But it's just crazy what a year and a bit can do to the perception of a team. They were the younger brothers in Florida, in the Battle of Florida for the longest time, and now they've taken a step and they're legit. So I don't blame people for picking Florida in this series, but I just want to put it out there that they weren't always this juggernaut. Like, they limped into the playoffs. Well, I guess that isn't an accurate description because they were actually really good down the stretch, but they barely made it into the playoffs last season.
Yeah, last season. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, you know, it's just crazy what a year can do. And something else I wanted to bring up, I was talking to Corey about this last night before the draft, and we were talking about our conversation, you and I and Casey on the podcast last episode, where we were talking about, you know, which goalie we would prefer in a game seven. And we were comparing Bobrovsky or Shesterkin, and we all said Bobrovsky, but it was close. Now we know that we were right to say that because Bobrovsky won the series against Shesterkin. But Corey and I were talking about, like, it's just crazy that Bobrovsky was looked at after he signed that deal as a guy who couldn't play hockey anymore.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, after, you know, he wasn't even the starter going into last year's playoffs. But then he got the crease back, had a phenomenal few rounds, and then he had a great regular season again, and he's had a pretty good playoff this year as well. And it's like, in a year, like, not only has the team changed the narrative of themselves and turned things around, but Bobrovsky literally has played his way into, you know, Hall of Fame territory now, which is crazy because when he signed that deal, he stunk for like a season and a half and everybody wrote him off. So it's just crazy. Anyway, that's a really long-winded way of saying that I just think it's crazy that this team is where they are, because a year and a half ago, they were, you know, not that great. And I guess same goes for Edmonton too.
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, SignUp Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether brand new, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully because this ad is for you. Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their profits. Thankfully, there has never been a better time to get signed up, and we are here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all of the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users. And when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful and profitable sports betting. So, if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand at the same time, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through our link in the description below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. If you're planning on signing up for a new sportsbook anyways, you might as well use our link and support the boys. So, one more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. This podcast is sponsored by SeatGeek, the absolute best ticket app out there. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals to tickets at your favorite sporting event. SeatGeek does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know whether you're getting a good or a bad deal. Last time I got tickets to see the Devils play, I first saw red tickets. I waited it out, monitored the price in-app, and once I saw green, I pulled the trigger. SeatGeek makes it that easy. And here's the best part. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Click the link in our description to download the app and remember to get your discounted tickets using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, let's talk about the Edmonton Oilers now. And you know, I know that we're both, maybe both of us. I know I'm going with Edmonton, but again, man, like talk about a roller coaster of a season for this team. They start 2-6-1 out of the gate, I think was their record. And that ended up being like 6-12-1. Like it was a brutal start for the Edmonton Oilers, and a very good coach in Jay Woodcroft loses his job. Chris Knobloch, who was McDavid's coach with the Erie Otters, he was in Hartford coaching the Rangers AHL affiliate, and he ends up being brought in by the Edmonton Oilers, and you know, it wasn't immediate, but you could see some positive signs there. Then they go on that 16-game rip or whatever it was, and then, you know, reestablish themselves as a contending team. So, you know, we talk about McDavid, obviously, in that performance in Game 6, that goal that he scored with Haskinen, you know, in front of him, going around him, a Norris Trophy-level defender, and the assist on the Hyman goal, and we talk about Draisaitl and Evan Bouchard and how he's now emerged into an elite NHL defender and what a postseason he's had. But Chris Knobloch deserves a lot of credit for the job that he's done with the Edmonton Oilers, and I have to pick the Oilers in 7, you know. And the other thing I want to say too is, going into that Western Conference final, you know, we were talking about what a deep team Dallas is and all of that, but their depth got out-depthed, as Elliot Friedman said, by the Edmonton Oilers. And when you look at Edmonton, they actually are kind of a deep team. Like, you look at the three guys who are healthy scratches right now and not in the lineup, Warren Fogle, Vincent Desharnais, who's just a massive man, and Sam Carrick. those are all three NHL players, and they're getting contributions up and down the lineup. So while it's going to be a challenge for them with the way that Florida plays physically, I think Edmonton's got a real shot at this thing, and that's why I'm taking them in seven games.
Yeah, and speaking of the physicality too, I don't know if you saw the average height and weight for both of these teams that was released the other day. It was just one of these Instagram stats, and they match up almost identically. Average height and weight is about 6'2", 205 or so for both teams. So it's not like Florida's going to come in here and pound the Oilers through the wall. No, the Oilers have learned to play physical and use their size too. I guess the difference is, you know, some of the smaller guys on Florida maybe characterized as more tenacious and they'll run you through the boards even though they are smaller, talking about a guy like Sam Bennett, for example. But, you know, the Oilers are no pushovers either, especially on that back end. And, you know, people have talked about how bad Darnell Nurse has been in these playoffs and getting exposed and whatnot. And that kind of comes with the territory, being played against some good players. But, you know, he made a conscious decision when things weren't going well for him with the puck that he was just going to start hitting people. And he did. And so I feel like when your team is committed to doing things outside of their comfort zone like that, like Edmonton has been these playoffs, you know, that can be conducive to success. So the Oilers aren't going to get run over here in terms of physicality. So
no.
Whoever's saying that because Florida's so tough, I think, you know, you need to consider Edmonton's physicality too.
Definitely. And, you know, speaking of getting out of your comfort zone, like, again, I go back to the head coach. I go back to Knobloch and some of the adjustments and the moves that he's made. You go back to that second round series against Vancouver. And man, there were a couple of times like me and M were talking and we're like, the Oilers are in trouble here. They're going to lose this series. And it just goes back to that. Number one, he pulls Stuart Skinner for two games, who is really struggling. Calvin Pickard came in, and then Skinner is back in the net, ends up winning you the series. Quietly has been a very good goaltender on the road in the playoffs, and also has really stepped it up. And Edmonton doesn't win Game 6 against Dallas if it isn't for Stuart Skinner. And then just some of the other lineup changes as well. You know, you look at a guy like Philip Broberg, who earlier in the year we were talking about him as a bust, being a high pick and, you know, down to the AHL and he's going to be traded and this and that, whatever. Well, Knobloch decides to change the look on the blue line. He takes out he takes out Desharnais, and then Broberg comes in, gets a big goal in game 5 in Dallas to send it back to Edmonton for game 6. And then two other guys who get inserted back into the forward group, Ryan McLeod, who scored in his first game back. I believe that was in game 4. That comeback win that the Oilers had over the Stars. He comes back in playing on the wing with Dreisaitl. Oh yeah, and you have a former 50 goal scorer and Stanley Cup winner in Corey Perry as a guy who you can plug back in and so you know, just some really gutsy calls made by Chris Knobloch, and hey, they've paid off. So talk about getting out of your comfort zone when it comes to that.
Well, and talk about gutsy calls too, and moving on from the coaching decisions, but I want to talk about some of the general manager decisions here, because what was the big thing that I harped on the Maple Leafs for at the deadline? You have these good players, you have to surround them and do everything you can to win every single year, whether you think your team is a Stanley Cup contender right now or not. Because if you're not, you're wasting a year, right? That was what I said. I thought the Leafs should have went out and got Noah Hanifin, for example, or Nikita Zadorov before the deadline, or whoever, right? Bolster your team, get better. Well, going back to last year, what did the Oilers do? They get the guy who solves all of their problems on defense in Ekholm. What an ad that guy was.
Huge.
this year at the deadline. I know he's been hurt a little bit, but he's back into the lineup now. Adam Henrique, your third line center. I would have paid a first round pick for Adam Henrique. That just solidifies your forward depth. Like, it makes so much sense if you have these good players and who are having incredible career years, like Zach Hyman was, you know, and your players like McDavid and Draisaitl are going off like always, and you've got Patrick Kane and you've added Corey Perry. Like, it makes sense to add as much as you can and go for it, because you don't have forever. So I have to commend management in Edmonton for adding a guy like Adam Henrique, because I think it just solidifies their depth.
Definitely. No, a lot of gutsy moves by Kenny Holland. Moves, and some of those moves that, not necessarily ones that we've mentioned before, but how often have we ripped on Ken Holland for the job that he's done?
A lot.
And the lack of depth and everything. But
a lot. And that's why I want to give him credit, because exactly. I have been harsh, but yes. That, a couple good moves here.
Yes, we have. And we have not been the only ones to feel this way and to be extremely critical of the job that Kenny Holland has done. I mean, on Jeff Merrick's radio show, like, one of the headlines for one of the pieces of audio from a show the other day was, has Ken Holland been vindicated? Because, you know, from where the Oilers are, because of where the Oilers are, excuse me, and how he was really getting it for some of the moves. But no, they've paid off. Obviously, you know, Ekholm, what a great clip of him thanking Ken Holland for trading for him. What a move that was. And he has been just a dream for Evan Bouchard, who has taken a huge step forward. And again, that's a big part in all of this, you know, because they finally got someone on their blue line to take that next step as an elite defender. And you need that. Like we're seeing, obviously you need depth to win and you need great goaltending, but you need those one or two or three guys up front who are elite. And then you need, you know, a couple of guys on the back end as well, or maybe that one guy, and then you fill out the rest of your blue line from there. So absolutely. All in all, with everything said, I mean, Ken Holland's done a really great job here.
Yes, and to your point, it's also the homegrown talent that you need too. You know, like,
yeah,
your McDavid's and Draisaitl's, you know, that's a free pass. You were going to pick those guys. They were, you know, expected to go where they did in the draft. There was no chance you were taking anyone else. So those, that's a free space in a bingo game. But for everybody else, like, you have to make good picks. Evan Bouchard, great pick. I don't know if they knew he was going to be this good so soon. Like, he's been incredible these playoffs, setting records for points by a defenseman or whatever, but he's been great. Dylan Holloway, another guy I know you like, you've talked about before, just a guy like who has plugged into the lineup and has not looked out of place. So you need to hit on some of these picks, and they have. So recently, things have been looking up for Edmonton in terms of developing some of their homegrown talent. And even a guy like Broberg, who, you know, at points we were like, okay, this guy's going to get moved, right? Well, who knows? Like, under a new coach, maybe there's better development there. So things are trending in the right direction in terms of developing their homegrown players compared to years ago, where it just seemed like every guy they picked outside of, obviously, the big two horses was just underwhelming. So it's nice to see.
Well, it is. And you know, we're focusing obviously a lot on Edmonton, but, you know, that's who I'm picking. And but just further to that, you know, you look at Broberg, and if you can come into the lineup, get a big goal in a big game in the playoffs, that changes everything. Like, that completely cleans the slate for that young player, in my opinion. And, you know, even some of the other picks, like, I was just kind of browsing through some of the stats for the Bakersfield Condors, their AHL team, the other day. And, you know, Raphael Lavoie is a guy who they've been waiting on for a while. He had 28 goals this year in the American Hockey League. So, again, it just goes to show to be patient with players. Like, certain players just take a little longer than others. And I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing the success now with the Oilers and seeing where they are. It's been, you know, a combination of time and patience. So anyway, again, picking the Oilers in seven games. And as we talked about off air, it's more of a want than a, you know, what I actually think. But, you know, although I do think that Edmonton's got a shot here. So who are you actually taking?
I had a really tough time with this series. Last round, I went 0-2. I don't know if you clicked into that, but I picked the Rangers, which in hindsight was stupid because Florida has just been so good. I
picked the Rangers too.
I just wanted to mush them. Like, I just, oh, I'm sick of the Panthers, man. Like, can the Atlanta get any better? You know, like, it's so annoying. But yeah, so I picked the Rangers and I picked the Dallas Stars. And the last clip that we posted on our Instagram, which by the way was like over a week ago, I've been busy. It's been one of those things. Like, I've been trying to get around to it, but it's a clip of me talking about how the Dallas Stars are better than the Oilers, top to bottom, and at forward, defense, and goaltending, and they're just the better team, and this and that. So I feel dumb now that that's still out there. And of course, all the Oilers fans are, you know, they flooded to the comments the night that the Oilers won. So that was kind of funny. But so I don't want to mush a team that I pick. That's why I was kind of against picking the Oilers here, because I would like for a Canadian team to bring the cup home to Canada, even if it's not the Maple Leafs. You know, I think it would be good for many reasons. It'd be good for Canada because we haven't had a championship since 1993. It would be good for the sport, I think, because seeing the best players win would be great. And it would be good for McDavid because it's his legacy that's kind of on the line here. You know, even if he finishes, you know, this guy might get 2,000 points. He's going to get 1,000 next year, and he's 27. You know, like, this guy literally might get 2,000 plus points in his career.
Chad, he's our age.
I know.
That's the thing that always fascinates me.
He's our draft.
He's our age, man. He's our draft, and what a special draft that was.
Yes. And actually, like, maybe the best draft in the last, I don't know, a while. But
yeah,
I mean, we should be talking about the 2014 draft going into this series, because you've seen that, right? The top four picks of the 2014 draft all playing in this series.
Three of them are on the Panthers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's also good, and selfishly, and this is, again, talking about if the Oilers win, it would also be good for the Maple Leafs, because it shows you that a team that is constructed in a way that favors offense, who doesn't have the best defense or goaltending, but finds a way to defend, you know, because that's what the Oilers have done. I'm not saying they're a bad defensive team. They're not at all. They've been pretty good, actually, according to the numbers.
And I agree.
They've been pretty good. And I'm going to get into some numbers here. But it would be good for the Maple Leafs, because it shows you that it's, you know, a way to build a team that actually works. And, you know, it's a copycat league, and maybe that changes things up. But if the Panthers win this series, it's probably bad for the Maple Leafs, because you look at that team and you say, okay, they don't really have any superstars, you know, guys making over $10 million. Of course, there's the Barkovs and the Tkachuks and the Bobrovskis, but they're structured to be a much deeper, tougher playoff type team, you know, in air quotes, playoff type. So that's all of this is going through my mind as I'm making this pick here, but I'm gonna go with the Oilers in seven games, and I hope I don't mush them. I didn't believe in the Oilers last series. I didn't believe in the Panthers last series, so I don't think I'm stepping on anybody's toes here picking the Oilers. I hope it happens. I hope we get a cup in Canada. And, you know, I don't even think it's a stretch to say that the Oilers are going to win, because when you look at some of the numbers, and this is what I wanted to get into, because this is what I did for previous picks, but, you know, in terms of goals for per 60 and expected goals for 60 per 60, rather, Edmonton and Florida are really close, but Edmonton is actually scoring more in the playoffs, and but Florida's really close. That's to be expected, right? But when it comes to goals against per 60 and expected goals against per 60, it was way closer than I originally thought. So in terms of expected goals against per 60, so that's the amount of chances that a team gives up per game, essentially, quantified into expected goals, Edmonton ranks third. And of course, Florida's first of all playoff teams. But that just goes to show you that this Oilers team, even though they don't have, you know, a traditionally strong defensive core, you know, because they've got guys back there. But let's be honest, like, you'd rather have the Panthers D core, I think, if you're asking most people. Even though they don't have the names, they have been shutting down other teams' offenses. And, you know, uncharacteristically, I would say this season, in the regular season, they were good defensively too under Knobloch. But it's just one of those things where, like, you don't think of the Oilers as this shutdown team, but they've kind of been able to do it. They go up a couple goals early in a game and then they just completely lock it down. So the Oilers are better defensively, which gives me some hope for my pick. But then here's the key. When it comes to special teams, guess who has the best power play and the best penalty kill percentage in the league right now of all playoff teams who have played at least four games?
The Edmonton Oilers.
It's the Edmonton Oilers. And there's the old adage that, you know, nothing gets called in the playoffs, and that's true to an extent, but there will be penalties called. And this team goes on the power play, I wouldn't trust any other team. You know, if I could pick one power play team to score me a power play goal in game seven, it would be the Oilers. And in terms of killing penalties too, for whatever reason, this team has just figured it out. So I'm going with the Oilers. I'm leaning heavily on special teams here. In the regular season, I think 5-on-5 play is likely more important because you play more of it and it's a larger sample size. But in the playoffs, man, I feel like the margins are so slim. It's only 4-7 games, and I feel like that's how I'm justifying my pick here, is the power play and penalty kill. I'm going with the Oilers in seven games, and I hope I don't mush them.
Yeah, no, that's I hope I don't either. That's a great point. Special teams are a key factor, and they've got a killer power play when it's going, and the penalty kill, you know, again, going back to the depth, you know, what a terrible regular season for Connor Brown. He's been great on the penalty kill. You've got Matthias Janmark chipping in a little bit on the kill as well. And, you know, I watched a lot of that Dallas-Edmonton series, that Western Conference final, I'll be honest with you, Melbs. And, Edmonton's penalty kill was so aggressive. Like, it, to me, honestly, it looked like Dallas was making panic moves with the puck. That's how aggressive the Oilers were on the PK. So, you know, Florida's going to be like that, and Edmonton needs to keep that up as well. The more I think of it, the more that I believe that these two teams do match up very well when it comes to special teams, depth, all of it.
Well, and speaking of matchups too, is there a better matchup in terms of first line centers in the NHL? The best offensive center going up against the best defensive center, one-on-one.
Yeah.
Can Barkov shut down McDavid? That's the biggest question. And if he can, the Conn Smythe's his. It really is. Like, he's been that good. Best defensive forward in the league year after year, point per game. You know, does everything. He's physical. He wins faceoffs. So if he can shut down McDavid, he's the Conn Smythe front runner, in my opinion. On the other side, and maybe we should do this, who we think will win the Conn Smythe, little prediction here. So I'll say Barkov on the Panthers side. And then on the Oilers side, obviously a lot of hockey left to be played here, but how could it not be Evan Bouchard? Yeah. Which is crazy to say, because of the two guys up front who year after year put up 2 points a game in the playoffs. And let's be honest, it'll probably be McDavid or Draisaitl, you know, but how cool would it be if it's Evan Bouchard, a guy who kind of stormed onto the scene and took the reins of that back end?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you were to pick today, it would be Bouchard for Edmonton if they win, and Barkov for Florida if they win. But I would love to see it be number 97 for the Oilers. And then for Florida, I mean, Barkov, maybe even Bobrovsky or Tkachuk. You know, that would be cool. And also, too, I want to mention this as well. You know, I know Tkachuk and Sam Bennett are no longer members of the Calgary Flames. They're with the Florida Panthers, but here they go again, you know, going toe-to-toe with the Edmonton Oilers now. And we remember all those great games between the Flames and the Oilers when Tkachuk was in Calgary. So we look forward to those battles between Tkachuk and Evander Kane once again.
Well, and, you know, if history is due to repeat itself, then maybe that is favorable for our pick, because the Oilers owned the Flames year over year in that rivalry, despite the fact that Matt Tkachuk was really good. But, you know, the Oilers, like, what was that series that they played a few years ago? What was that one game? It was like 9-4 or 7-4 or something, like crazy. Do you remember the game I'm talking about?
I do, sort of. I like right now, the only thing that comes to mind is the McDavid overtime winner to win the series. But yeah, and so having a little trouble remembering that one. But
it was a while ago.
Here's something I'll remember, though. Elliot saying on 32 Thoughts that he was told by an anonymous Oilers player that they believed or felt that if they beat the Calgary Flames in that series, that they could break up the Calgary Flames. Look at what's happened, right?
And they did, crazy. Yeah. So if history repeats itself, we could see McDavid hoisting the cup and Matt Tkachuk, you know, sulking in the corner, watching him, old Battle of Alberta, buddy. But yeah, who knows, man? It's going to be an incredible series. Hopefully, you know, I'm able to watch more than I was in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. I watched a bit. I just wasn't able to see the clinching game. But it was kind of nice that we got a bit of a break before the next series started, because also, too, like, now everyone's going to be healthy. And
yep,
I just think it's going to be great hockey. So I can't wait.
I think so, too. You know, and the more I think of it, it's like, OK, at the same time, it is a little ridiculous that, you know, June 24th, 4 days before the start of the NHL draft, could be game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. But at the same time, with this rest and time off, these teams are both going to be healthy, ready to go. And we're not going to see two teams limping their way into the Stanley Cup final to face each other. So it's going to be great. And we're going to be able to watch some of these games when we're on the beach.
Yes, that's going to be, hopefully we get a game 7 while we're in Costa Rica. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah. And then the Oilers win and we can celebrate in Costa Rica.
Exactly.
All right, man. Great stuff. And again, game 1 of the Stanley Cup final between the Panthers and the Oilers is Saturday night. So enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to episode 211, and we will talk to you again soon.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. Connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.